Well, the role and the treatment of women in the film industry has been a big issue in recent weeks, obviously, in the wake of the Harvey Weinstein scandal in Hollywood. More than 40 women have now come out and accused the film producer of sexual harassment, and much worse, in many cases, sexual assault and rape. Harvey Weinstein denies all allegations of non-consensual sexual conduct. Overnight, Tom Hanks has described the revelations, quote, as a watershed moment, and is calling for change to the industry.
We got to hear from everybody so that we understand how vast and how all-encompassing this was. That's A. B is, it's all got to change. Look, since when has this brand of common decency and professionalism been put on hold just because of sexual dynamics in the workplace?
Hollywood star Tom Hanks speaking overnight. Well, women have always been underrepresented in the film industry. Less than half of the producers and only around a third of the screenwriters working on feature films in Australia are women. But from as early as the 1920s, women have been making a mark in this world of film. And some of those stories are being told in a new book. It's called Beyond the Silver Screen. Mary Tomsic is the author. She joins us in our Melbourne studios. Mary, welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
In your book, you quote actress and film director Rachel Ward back in 2003. She said, quote, "I think that women don't feel like they have the right to be there. They don't feel like they have the right to be the boss, to be at the helm of the whole production." Do you agree with that comment from Rachel that even back in 2003, that it's as bleak as all that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting statement she made, and I think it's something that kind of can reflect people's personalities and approaches and their experiences. But I think for a lot of women, that is a significant issue in terms of getting the skills, the courage, the confidence in a patriarchal society to speak out with film.
And yet we do have a proud history of Australian film directors and producers. If you think of Gillian Armstrong, My Brilliant Career, that was produced by Margaret Fink, Jane Campion, I mean, she's won so many awards, Rachel Perkins, who's given us Jasper Jones most recently, Brand New Day before that. Mm-hmm. Surely they feel they belong on set now doing their work. And overseas, look at Sophie Coppola in Hollywood, Catherine Bigelow, who brought us Hurt Locker, Patty Jenkins with Wonder Woman. I mean, these women are certainly making a mark.
They certainly are, and there are a large number that definitely do that. But then I guess there's also those experiences of women who find taking on those roles harder, and that's where there's really interesting things about, you know, the importance of access to training. A lot of those women mm-hmm. that you've mentioned have been through formal film schools, and the focus on that and the opportunities that formal tertiary education offered women, I think, is really significant. But there is a really long history of women's work not being taken seriously.
Yeah, and in your book you make it clear that a lot of the women who were perhaps, you know, invisible to many of us were instrumental in setting up those film schools. I'll come to that in a minute.
Sure.
Because you take us right back. The Australian film industry kicked off in the 1890s. By 1920, we had an established film industry. What role were women? What role did women have in the film industry back then?
Well, it's really interesting, and that was one of my most exciting things looking at the start of this project. But, you know, there's this wonderful family, the McDonoughs, three sisters who worked together to make films in the 20s and 30s in Sydney. And a lot of this it's an ad hoc kind of industry at the time. But these are women who took themselves seriously. They wanted to tell stories with film. And, you know, we have things like statements made by Ken Hall, this significant Australian director, in the 70s talking about the McDonoughs sisters, saying they were really three sisters together, three girls having fun.
Mm.
And
go on.
Oh, and I guess just this kind of idea of when do we listen to women's voices and when do we choose not to?
The next renaissance that I knew about for women filmmakers was in the 70s, when feminism made its way to the film industry and demanded to learn the skills and to be given a place. But your book documents the story of what happened in between those landmark years, if you like, the 1920s and the 70s. What were women doing in the film industry then?
Well, yeah, it's a really interesting kind of time period to chart. There's a lot of women working in documentary film and political filmmaking. And so when I was looking at this, I was looking for kind of the smaller, quiet ways. So, for example, in the 1930s, you have the Grail, a group of Catholic women, a lay Catholic organisation who wants to use all the modern technology available for talking about their work and their world. And they're making films in Sydney of Catholic events and documenting things going on, filming the funeral of Joe Lyons, things like that. So, yeah, there's that sort of kind of activist filmmaking mm-hmm. along with the Waterside Workers Federation Film Unit. There's really interesting work of filmmaker Norma Disher, who works with them. But we also have government filmmaking, and that's really a key place where women get to learn to make films.
Yeah, government and industry. I mean, Lilias Fraser, for instance, was a woman making films during this time, the late 50s and the 60s, making documentaries for the mining industry, bringing up a family by making documentaries for the mining industry. She later took those skills into the women film co-ops that were starting up during the 70s. Exactly. So there was that skill exchange.
Yes, and Lilias is an interesting example. Some films she shot, she sent off to be processed, but her name didn't clearly identify her gender, and that the people in the film processing unit were looking for him to give him a cameraman's job. But when they realised that wasn't quite the case, that opportunity dried up. But exactly, for her working with her husband as well, within a kind of a family unit, they were able to make their films, create with films and tell many stories.
Yeah, but you're right, it took a bit of getting through. Mary Tomsic is postdoctoral research associate in the School of Historical and Political Studies at the University of Melbourne, and she's written this book, Women of the Silver Screen. In the 70s, that's when we got the women's filmmaking co-ops, the Sydney Filmmakers Co-op, the Adelaide had the Media Resource Centre. These produced a lot of training for women. A lot of women filmmakers came through. How important was that period in encouraging women that they did have a place in this industry? Was that the importance of it?
I think so. And it's also a specific type of filmmaking they were really interested in. They had political things to say and political stories to tell, but it was certainly a way a lot of the women have spoken about things like, I got my hands on equipment. So it was really a means to skilling up and to tell the stories they wanted to tell, stories that they felt weren't being told through mainstream kind of filmmaking.
Yeah, and we've got a very successful product of that legacy comes so many years later in the 2015 film The Dressmaker, which starred Kate Winslet and Judy Davis, produced by Sue Maslin, who says even then she found it difficult to secure funding in pre-production.
Exactly. And that's the kind of thing that I don't want. I don't think there's been a massive narrative of progress. There's certainly change, and there's, better things that happen at better moments. But there was almost, hearing Sue Maslin speak about that, there was almost a sense of disbelief when she's trying to get funding for this film that people will actually want to see it. And, of course, they did. It's a fantastic film.
It grossed more than $20 million at the box office. Mary, thank you very much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Fran.
Mary Tomsic is postdoctoral research associate in the School of Historical and Political Studies at Melbourne University. Her book is called Beyond the Silver Screen. It's published by Melbourne University Publishing.